If you're an established woman in tech who is creating results and making an impact at work, so your workload and stress just keep growing, but promotions and salary bumps remain a distant dream, it's time for a change. Listen, we all know the tech industry has dramatically changed. It's time your career approach did too. You don't need cookie cutter programs or dusty advice from outdated playbooks because what works for tech bros won't work for you. You need individualized, bespoke support to build your brave career, one that reflects who you are as a woman in tech. I invite you to explore career coaching with me. Get all the details, including prices and client results, at tricksteinbach.com. You can stress less, work less, and earn more. You've already earned it. Let's make it happen. Welcome to the Build Your Brave Career podcast, where we flip the script on the tired stereotype that women in and around the tech industry have to be stressed out, overworked, and underpaid. I'm Nicole Tricksteinbach, the International Bravery Coach and your host. Forget what you've been taught. Bravery is not a personality trait available only to the brash. Bravery is a skill, and you already have it. Which is great, because building the skill of bravery is the most powerful way to creating the career and life you really want. As you build your brave, you will stress less, work less, and then earn more. This podcast will help you do just that. Let's dive in. You are in for a treat in this episode of the Celebrate Brave podcast because my guest, Jenny Block, she is sharing with us her courageous journey of how she advocated for fair compensation, the process, the emotional process, as well as the tangible process that she undertook to make that happen, her powerful, bold choices to move towards a career in sustainable product development. And she also shares the power of coaching and her experience and how she shifted over time. You're going to hear me be a little bit surprised and then have my own aha moment. Now, Jenny is a client of mine, and she is someone who's helped me so much see my impact on the environment and choices that I can make. And I bet she's going to help you as well. But before we dive into this beautifully vulnerable conversation, Jenny is a sustainable product development manager expert. She is also a digital nomad. She works with small and medium-sized, very lucky companies to understand and then reduce their impact on our environment. It's our environment. She is originally a hardware engineer. She was in engineering and operations leadership, developing consumer hardware products. And then she transitioned. She's also a graduate of MIT. And I just love sharing that because I personally know how much she invests in the MIT environment, alumni, and current community. To learn more and to connect with Jenny, go to the show notes. But for right now, I'm going to hand you over to this beautiful conversation. Jenny, I am so excited to have you today sharing some of your stories and some of your advice with our audience. Welcome.
All right. It's great to be here. I said it's been a little bit since we last talked, so it's always a pleasure.
And it's one of the things that I really enjoy about like the coaching relationship and taking some of the materials forward. I know that I still use and deepen skills that I gained in my very first coaching relationship. So I'm really excited to hear which career advice you're giving and which brave story that you're sharing today. And so if it's cool with you, I would just hand it to you and you could start us off.
Sure.
All right.
Of course. So my brave career advice is set up in two parts. First of all, to don't be afraid to set boundaries, to tell the world how you want to be treated.
Yeah.
And not settle for, oh, they mean well, or somehow that you're taking value away from other people by standing up for yourself.
You know? Yeah.
Both things that I've been directly told.
Me too. Me too.
Oh my God. I guess it works for some people. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep pulling out that line. But
yeah,
it's hard.
Yes.
There's a Toni Morrison quote that I like. It says basically, other people can't value you more than you value yourself.
Ooh.
And yeah. And that's not just in work, but like once you figure that out, it ripples out to every other relationship in your life.
Oh, 1,000,000%. Once I understood the difference between a rule, like telling someone else how to behave, and a boundary, which is like what I will accept, where I will stay, so much of my life changed. So much. And it took me a long time. It took me to become a parent for me to finally understand rules and boundaries. So I hear you. Changes so many relationships. But per usual, because one thing that I definitely have not said yet is that you are so structured and you are always bringing more than expected. That's my experience with you and our group calls. And when people are saying, oh, I talked to Ginny or I was exchanging with Ginny and she just so much. You said you had two, not one, but two. Oh, yeah. So what's the second one?
It's so hard to pick, you know, So this has been really relevant for me over the last few months, but current me is so thankful to past me for setting up my emergency fund and automating my savings. Like doing that has just been a complete game changer. It gave me the ability to rest and breathe after leaving a pretty stressful job that didn't value me. I was able to take classes that I needed to reskill into a new area that I'm really excited about. And the whole time I didn't have to worry about rent or food or it was like car repairs that come out of nowhere. So I think don't underestimate what that'll do for you, especially if you can automate it out of your direct deposit. So it's like
you never see it in the bank account. It just goes straight over there.
It just goes straight over there. It's so true. It's really life changing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So we've got boundaries, how you want to be treated. And then we have prioritize your saving to make leaving an option, make time off an option, make reskilling an option. So I have a suspicion of what the Brave story is then, but let's hear it.
Yeah, it was definitely the impetus for me reaching out to you. I think we talked about it like number one in our first call.
Yeah.
So
okay. All right.
Well, definitely familiar with this one. It ties back to setting boundaries. So one of the bravest things that I've done for that, standing up for myself at work, was being willing to draw a hard line in a situation where I was, again, being underpaid.
Yeah.
So this started as states have started enacting pay transparency laws, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And my employer at the time was growing and decided to put out a listing for another one of me.
Mm-hmm.
The exact same job title, responsibilities, and they do salary ranges by job coding there. Mm-hmm. So the posting that they put out had a minimum salary that was higher than mine. And I was coming in with 10-year history of excellent performance reviews. I had well documented the dollar amount really that I had been making and saving for this company.
So how significant was the gap? Because I know that at one point in my career, one of my colleague people was like, hey, listen, you're making 30 grand less than your colleague. And it was
a big chunk of money. Obviously, 30 grand is always a big chunk of money. Yeah. But like at that point in time, what was your gap? Was it like 5%, 20%, somewhere around there?
It was like 5%. It wasn't 30 grand, but it was still, it was lower. And I had been in a position for several years now across, four different roles and like job codings at least, where I had been continually told, we'd really like to pay you more, but this is all the budget we have right now.
Oh, the famous, that's all the budget we have. Mm-hmm. I got told that too.
So, you know, coming into this, I was frustrated. I've kind of been strung along for a while, but this was the first time it was publicly out there that like didn't matter who they hired, they were going to be going in above me. So that was my line. I gave my management and HR a chance to fix things and kind of got sent around in circles. I cried through every single conversation because this was really hard for me.
Yeah.
And we ended up with my therapist signing papers for 6 weeks of medical leave just so I could cool down, stop thinking about like work and this situation 24/7 and like give my management time to figure their shit out.
Wow. So did you like send an email? Because I remember us bonding over this in our first conversation because I told you, looking back, I kind of wish I would have cried in the first situation. But instead, I like marched my popo, my little butt down. I was in my mid-20s. I marched down the hallway. I've all but flung open the manager's door. And I was like, 30,000 euro, 30,000 euro. Mm-hmm. And he had no idea what I was doing. Just like, what? I was so mad. It took me a long time to allow myself to have any feelings at all. And then began the tears because I couldn't believe I had been so ill-treated for doing such an amazing job. Like I was writing speeches for a key member of the board of the company. Right. Like, yeah. So you like, did you send an email? Did you do market research? Like, what did you do for the inspiration of our audiences?
So I think the market research piece didn't matter so much because the company has like very, well, I mean, now public because they're putting it on job postings, but the public has like, or sorry, the company has like policies of this is the upper and lower bound of each specific job code and the leveling for that job code. Was that, but what I did was I actually set up a series of one-on-ones because again, this was all remote working. We weren't in an office at all.
Okay.
So I met with my manager one day, his manager the next day, and that VP level the day after that, and the HR person on that same day. And I was really transparent that that's what I was doing. Like I told my manager, hey, just so you know, like, these are the conversations I'm having for the rest of the week. I'm not trying to get around you, go behind your back, but I am going to go talk directly to these people at these times.
Excellent.
And he asks, like, okay, do you mind if I talk to them before you have those conversations? And like, okay, no, go ahead. Like, that's completely reasonable for you to want to do. The best piece of advice I actually got from my wider network. I reached out to a group that I was involved with through college. And the best advice I got out of that was to tell them a specific number. Tell them what I wanted. Don't leave them guessing.
Okay.
You know, what do I have to do to like fix this to make Jenny happy again? It's like, no, I told them the specific number and I backed it up using exactly what the company's dated compensation philosophy was.
That is such best practice. I have a podcast episode about crucial conversations, and it's very frequently something that I need to come back to, or, you know, I spend a good amount of time with my clients and also with other organizations who ask me to like help them with that. And it's amazing how effectively and proactively you manage that. Like a lot of the times we get scared to create some waves. We get scared to follow up quickly to make sure that there's urgency when it's about me and my career, particularly with the messages that you and I have both gotten and most of our community members have gotten as well, right? That we've already gone over. So what was it that...
Yes, babe. Sorry, like, yeah.
It's so bad. So like, what gave you that bravery and that courage to be direct, transparent, and proactive? And of course, some people would call this bold, demanding, right? But we're going to stick with direct, proactive, resilient. My goodness.
Resilient. I mean, I'm coming from a lifetime of being told that what I'm asking for or what I'm trying to do is crazy. So I definitely had a pretty strong muscle of not taking no for an answer.
Yeah.
But what gave me that? I think I was just fed up.
Yeah.
You know, it had been that way for so long. And like I said, it was not something that I was comfortable with. I cried literally every conversation.
Yeah.
But I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes people, I'm now quoting Roxane Gay. Sometimes people will say like, oh, you're not allowed to cry and be professional, or you're not allowed to be emotional and be professional. And she was the first person that I ever heard say this, which is like, okay, I can only agree with that if we agree that frustration, annoyance, and anger are emotions. And then men need to stop doing all of those.
Right. That is a powerful reframing.
Yeah. Usually for me, for you. Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Okay. So tell us what the outcome was. Tell us.
Yeah.
And I know that was like a while ago. So I really want to also just open up for our community, the Celebrate Brave community, what your life is like now. And all of the impossible things that you've done, because I know that I look at you as very inspirational for me in designing my life. And so I want to make sure that we share that with everyone as well.
For sure. My life is so different now in a way that I never could have imagined, but it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that string of conversations up my management chain, HR. I told them very specifically what it would take to fix the situation. And then I took my medical leaves. I was living in a van at the time. And so took the opportunity to just drive down into Mexico.
So cool. It's so cool.
You know, I was coming off of like a van life summer in Alaska where I was working like while doing it. And so now I was like, all right, well, I guess it's getting kind of cold now. I'm going to go south. So I met my now fiance at that point, which was great because I was able to use that time off work to really detox and spend time with her.
Yeah.
She's really, it's crazy how the like timing of life works out sometimes.
It really was, because at this point we had started working together and you rolled in and I was like, what's different? And we were like, oh, you know, we can talk about it in a couple of weeks. And I was like, okay, like, that's cool. And then you shared that you had met someone really precious. It was amazing. It was like dominoes. You made this incredibly powerful choice for yourself, took time off, and then you made some decision. Oh, it's just incredible. Yeah. And so they met your demand, right?
I came back a few weeks later and got the number that I asked for, plus like a tiny like 2% extra, just to show that they weren't doing the bare minimum.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah.
So, I mean, it really comes back to like value yourself, because no one else can do that for you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And to the quote you brought to us, no one can value you more than you value yourself. Mm-hmm. Such a powerful quote. So you're living in Mexico.
I'm still living in Mexico, which is a completely non-career related brave choice that I've also made in my life. But I'm here. I'm with my fiance. I made the decision to focus on building our relationship and kind of completely reskilling what I was working on when I left my job last summer. And I know we have a beautiful home with two cats. I meet so many amazing people every day that are passionate about saving the planet, because that is what I've been reskilling into, is sustainable product development, like taking all of the engineering and operations experience I have and turning that into tangible ways to reduce companies' impact on the environment.
Yes, which is what the savings made possible too. Like, you did some really, can I say elite? Is that the right word to describe the schooling that you've done and the training? I mean, it's been from really top name organizations to build the skills. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little scary, but I sprung on the MIT professional education, and I'm so glad I did.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was definitely impactful. I watched you just become a lot more calm in the functional area and a lot more confident and even more committed, which I think is one of the most beautiful things about, you know, taking a course or doing on the job training or something like that, is people just can really feel, am I committed to this? And your passion is so clear. So can you just talk for a few minutes about your passion for sustainable product development and why it matters?
Oh my God. Yes. Please. Thank you for asking. So I've always felt a really strong connection to nature. Always done a lot of hiking, camping, time in the ocean. And about 5 years ago, one of my bucket list items was to get scuba certified. And that has just really exploded into a side passion of mine. But what it means is that I visit all these incredible natural places, and some of them I go back to year after year. And you can really see the changes that happen. You can pick up the trash that's happening, or see the forest fires that have completely stripped the area that they used to love to be in. The corals are bleaching, like invasive species are only growing faster because the environment is changing. And so I want to try and preserve those natural areas as long as possible for future generations. And with my background in consumer hardware, it felt like at some point I was just making really fancy trash. So as I grew into leadership roles and actually having ownership over the product, the features, what we were doing to get it out the door, I started pushing in sustainability by design, kind of, as something that I cared about, bringing the engineers along, being like, okay, this is really impactful for us to make the effort to use this kind of material, or to better plan our logistics so we don't have to air freight everything.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So at some point, I got tired of that being a side piece, something that my performance was not measured on, but I did really care about making it happen. And now that is my full-time job, like talking to small, medium companies and helping them figure out what their impact is on the environment and what are some tangible and cost-effective ways to bring it down.
Yeah. And that's one of the ways that you really helped me. It's one of the things I love about my profession, is that I get so much learning and inspiration from you. And the very first time you said to me, I feel like I'm making fancy trash. And then I was like, like there was so much truth in that for me as well inside of my spine. And then we talked a little bit about climate grief, which I was completely oblivious to. And it gave me such bravery to learn more and to look at facts, data, gains and losses, and to expose myself to more, which was incredibly helpful. And I still continue to believe that the biggest changes we can make are systemic changes, particularly to these massive industries who continue to create the most harm. And I want to feel empowered. And this is something that, you know, you would just make these side comments that would help me reflect about, you know, how do I really want to be sending a workbook, a printed workbook to each of my clients? Or do I need to make that editable online, which is just now coming out because it took me a very long time. But anyways, right? Or like, what kind of car is up next? Mm-hmm. How are we planning different activities? What kind of recycling opportunities are available in our city? And how can I support my city council in knowing that there's support for that? Like, it's just so that I could remind myself that I am a part of this, that I do have agency, and that I do get to make small changes, even while I still continue to believe that the biggest polluters are the ones who need to make the biggest changes. Like, doesn't seem very hard to me, but okay. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, but like, they're not going to make those changes unless I think their customers, whether they're the actual consumers or their businesses or the government, demand that change and create the incentives. So,
yes.
It's really brave to even spend the time to dig into it, because it's scary when you realize what's going on, where we are, and how very few people are paying attention.
Yes.
So,
yes. One of the things that I do is if I'm learning about something and I'm feeling too much emotional weight, and I know that I'm going to put that book down, it's usually books I love to read, and go back to like reading The Number One Ladies Detective Agency, which takes place in Botswana. And that is a full recommendation. Read the series. It's so fun. Ooh. Is I then get the audiobook. And then when I'm out on my runs, I listen to the audiobook. I've done that with a number of anti-racist books as well, because it's the grief is real. The shock, the awe, the grief, doing the hard work is real. And you had recommended a book that, of course, is not coming to me at this moment in time, but I really had to listen to that book when I was on my runs, because there's so much opportunity and it can feel very disenchanting and demotivating for me when I hear of so much opportunity and then see that greed is overcoming beautiful places. Right. And living in a fire corridor. And I think I was listening to that book when we had those huge fires just 20 minutes north of where I am. 1,000 homes were gone, I think, 2 days before Christmas. Right. And I was like, wow, you know, this is so that's a tip to our community. If you're struggling to read and be informed, go for a walk, go for a run, listen to the books that will help you become an ever better person. And Jenny will probably give more resources. So definitely, can they follow you on LinkedIn?
Oh, please do. Yeah. Okay. My LinkedIn URL is just Jenny Block. So,
okay. And it's going to be in the show notes as well. But before I let you go, we have two more questions. The first one, of course, thank you so much for the vulnerability and generosity. Two career pieces of advice and then a lived story for both. Thank you. What was a brave role model from your life?
I spent a lot of time thinking about this, because you sent out this question in advance, like as a heads up, and it's a hard one. I think one of the reasons that I started talking to you and reached out in the first place is because I don't have a lot of these in my regular life. It's just not as ingrained. So I think I would have to say that I am really proud of myself for everything that I've done. And looking back, seeing that and what it's done just reminds me that I can continue to do more
Okay, deep breath. When Matcha came on from our community, she said something along those same lines. And whoo, I'm crying. Sorry, just give me one second. That is so beautiful, Jenny, because I know that when that is true for you, you're going to go and you're going to inspire the people around you, regardless of generation, regardless of gender, regardless of identity and in other ways. And so that touches me very, very deeply. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And another thing, it's not a specific person, but I definitely looked around and noticed this. TikTok videos, stories, small one-off conversations is that older generations of women, women in their 60s, 70s, and 80s that are just living their best lives, don't care about anybody else's opinion. They're just I'm going to do this. Y'all can just fuck off, go over there. I don't care. And I wanted to achieve that in my 20s. I was why am I waiting to do that? I could just have that attitude now. Well, that seems like the best thing to do.
Oh my goodness. Oh my God, that's so fun. Actually, do you mind if I share a personal story?
Please.
All right, here we go. So there was a period of my life, I think until I was about 14, 15, something around there. There were four generations in my matriarchal line. So there was me, then my mother who had me very young, then her mother who had her quite young, and then her mother, so my great-grandmother. And in my family, we now also have four generations, my youngest being that fourth. So we went over to visit my great-grandmother who had moved into assisted living, independent assisted living. So she had a little flat in a senior community. And it was I don't know, it was 10 o'clock in the morning or something like this. This was a very long time ago. It was for all four generations. And my great-grandmother, who we just called grandma, because my Nana is my grandmother. So grandma was swearing and drinking a beer when we got there at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And finally my Nana said to her mom, Nicole is here. Behave better. Something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And my grandma, who was five, if we stretched her feet tall, rips herself around and says, I am however many years old, let's say, I don't know, 70 years old, okay, 75 years old. And I am going to swear when I want to. I'm going to drink beer when I want to. And I'm not going to wear underwear. I don't know. She had to grow into that. And it was not well received by most of society, right? This Catholic woman who was nope, I'm done. I'm done. But
Why do you need to be 75 for that?
It was young enough where I was one moment, please. What? That sounds great. I'm just going to decide what I'm going to do. And that was one of the moments in my life that gave me permission to move to Germany right after college when it made mm-hmm. almost no sense. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was that woman. And also my Nana told me one time when I was in my mid. No. I was very young. I was still in college. I came to visit from college. And she said, you know what? She had this book, When I Am Old, I'll Wear Purple or something like that. And she said, life begins at 60. Because for her, she had had six kids. She had gone from her dad's house to her husband's house. And now here she was with freedom. And I remember thinking, not for me. Mm-hmm. Not for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing that. I love that. I love watching my generation and older generations on TikTok. It's hilarious. Most of us don't know what to do with the technology and we make funny faces and it's so great. I just love it. It's so real. I feel like I'm in conversation. Okay. And last question, very, very last question. You already covered a lot about your mindset. Yeah. You covered a lot about your growth. How did coaching help you And you can talk about coaching with me, but you can also just talk generally about coaching and how it's helped you, of course.
Something that really stands out to me is that coaching has helped me build clarity in my relationships, which ones I want to invest in, which ones I want to keep around, and which ones don't serve me in any way. Giving myself permission to let those go, right? It's like toxic people, toxic companies, whoever. And so I think coaching has really helped me understand and give myself permission to understand that sometimes something aren't worth continually fighting.
Permission to understand. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Nicole.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm surprised. That is really cool that is what came out for you. That's really fantastic. Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. So Jenny Block on LinkedIn. Yep.
Link is in the show notes. Anything we didn't cover or last comments that you want to share?
Go hug a tree. Eat more plants. We kind of need to.
Okay, that's it. That's all I got for you. Hug a tree, yeah. Eat more plants. The planet needs you. I'm in. All right. Then, till next week, brave it up, everyone. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
If the Build Your Brave Career podcast is helping you flip the script in your own career, if it's helping you reduce your stress, work smarter, or create more income, please share this with a friend. Till next time, you are already brave. Now go build your brave.